all for joining us today here on Elevate, broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. This National Park College podcast highlights a different Nighthawk with each episode. We'll talk about their journey, challenges, key moments of success, their moments of elevation, leveling up, and overcoming.
I'm Timothy Webb, your host, and I'd like to welcome to the program Patience Bookout. Thanks for joining me today.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
All right. Patience Bookout. What's it like having such a cool name?
You get asked the same question every day.
What's that?
Do you have patience?
Oh my gosh.
It's not an original joke anymore.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Patience.
I'm currently 26 years old. I graduated from Hot Springs High School in 2016. Mm-hmm. I was born in Louisiana, but I've lived here for about half my life, since I was 12.
Patience, you're a National Park art student, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're majoring in
graphic design, but I'm going to be switching to the four-year degree, so I'll be getting my Associates of Arts here.
Mm-hmm.
This is just how I was explained it to by my teachers. Once I have that, I can transfer to UALR and then finish up a degree there.
Okay, so you're going to do a 2+2 with UALR.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
It's going to take a while because I'm not going to be able to go move to Little Rock. It's going to be really hard.
Yeah. As a Trojan myself, I go to UALR. They have a lot of online courses, so you may not necessarily have to move there. I don't go on campus.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be an art student, so I figure I need to at least show up there.
Yeah, yeah. So why did you choose the field of art and graphic design?
Well, it's something I've always liked. People say I've always been good at art, and I like to create my own stories and worlds. I want to get better at writing because I'm so scared of writing because I'm afraid I'm going to do something wrong, say something wrong, or it's not going to come out right. But I kind of just want to illustrate some stories.
Mm-hmm. What kind of stories do you like to write?
I have these two cats, and I always came up with the story of them. I was one of those people that read warriors, and I never really considered them as warriors. I kind of just ended up making up their own story, like what they're doing and how they interact with other cats and other animals around the neighborhood when we're not home.
Mm.
Because they go in and out as they please.
Okay, yeah.
So they used to. Now they're just old.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things do they get into?
Sometimes they'll, like, it almost seems like they take shifts. they used to. One will stay, one will go out, and then they just kind of alternate. Sometimes they do cat things. They just do cat things. They go out. Sometimes they'll kill something and bring it back. And then it freaks us out. And they're like, okay, so you don't like it when they're dead. So let's bring it back alive.
I'm a cat person as well. That means your cat loves you when they bring you stuff back.
I know. But nowadays they can't go outside. And because we live in an apartment now,
mm-hmm.
They've gotten used to being indoors because we have a lot of space. But now they just either lay around, and when I'm home, they just get into mischief. One of them likes to pass the time by knocking things off the table intentionally, just so that he can get me into the other room. And as soon as I leave, he gets into more mischief. I can't have anything on the table. Nothing is safe.
What are your cat's names?
Monkey and Catfish.
Monkey and Catfish.
They are 13 now, and they are brothers.
Oh, wow. So they were born at the same time?
Yeah, they came from the same litter, same mother. I knew them since they were little babies.
So, Patience, how long have you been here at National Park College?
This is my first semester.
Okay. How's it going so far?
It's hectic. I can see why most people leave college early on. It's hard to get acclimated to so much work. And if you have a job, like some people will do, have full-time jobs,
right?
It's hard to get your work done while you also work and then have to sleep.
Right, right. You got to sleep. Yeah. Can't not sleep. So then you're a non-traditional student then, since you didn't come straight out of high school into college?
No, I didn't know what I wanted to do exactly. I decided to go and get some life experience. So for the last few years since I graduated, I've just been in the workforce. I started off, like most people, working at fast food. I worked at Wendy's and for 2 years, and then I was let go for certain issues. Then I worked at the Atrium for 3 years, and it broke my heart.
What broke your heart? Being there,
working there, and I loved those people. It's a assisted living facility.
I see.
You learn to love the people that live there, and they kind of become your second grandparents, even if they don't know your name most of the time. It's kind of an awakening moment when you see people who get to this point in their life and they're not all there. And then you realize this could be you one day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't want to stay there until I had to be admitted there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was actually there while I was working. I worked in the memory care unit. I served food. That was my full-time job. I served meals and took care of that particular area where they dined. And it was grinding on me day after day in, day out. You know, it was my full-time job. It was all I did. And there was no way of moving up. I was stuck. And it was at that point, because sometimes I would sketch while I was in between doing my duties. And in that moment, I realized I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I decided I wanted to go to school.
Awesome.
Even if it didn't lead anywhere, in my mind, I'm like, even if it didn't lead anywhere, I wanted to be able to say I went to college and I got to learn skills that I wanted to learn at least for a hobby, and then build on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody knows what they want to do for the rest of their life at the beginning.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what college is for, is getting a taste of everything and then figuring out what you like and what you want to do with the rest of your life, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I've already learned a lot. My teachers are great. They taught me some good skills, and especially on how to improve on what I already knew from art.
Mm-hmm. So, Patience, you kind of touched on this already, but what are some of the challenges you face as a non-traditional student?
I think it's learning how to get out of my own way.
Mm.
I get really anxious when trying to make these kind of big decisions and how they're going to impact me, like financially, and what's my next move? How am I going to do this, like schedule-wise? And then, because I planned this a year in advance. When I decided I was going to go to school, I didn't do it immediately because I had a previous experience where I wanted to go to school and I wasn't ready, even though I was accepted. It was out of state. The tuition was too much even after I had gotten the scholarship, and I wasn't ready. So I pulled out, and that didn't put me in a good mood for anything for a long time.
Yeah.
It was very discouraging to go through all that work just to not do it.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure that if I'm doing this, I'm doing it. So I planned. I put certain things into place as fail safes if I could. I started building my credit. I applied early. I tried to do everything I could to hit those boxes. And even still, my anxiety levels were going up. Maybe it was just my time at the Atrium where I've kind of learned you go in always expecting the worst. Because then you won't be surprised when something bad happens.
Oh, I see.
You learn to expect the worst. I know it's horrible to think, oh, you're going to go in expecting that, you know, something's going to go bad, or like something's going to break, somebody's going to get hurt. But I had to have that mentality or I would lose my mind.
For local content like this and much more, subscribe to the Sentinel Record by visiting hotsr.com and clicking subscribe.
Again, you already kind of touched on this, but what are some of the obstacles you've had to overcome to get to this point?
It was getting out of my own way and just going forth and doing it, even if I was a little scared to do it.
What are the lessons you can take from all that?
You don't have to do everything alone. It's good to have people in your life who believe in what you do and will be there to support you as much as they can.
Well, it sounds like you've came a long way, Patience. Is there any achievements you'd like to tell us about that you're most proud of?
Being here.
Yeah, choosing to go to college.
Mm-hmm. And wanting to stick with it.
Yeah. So, Patience, where did you grow up and what was it like there? Did you grow up here in Hot Springs?
Well, when I was younger, I lived in Bossier City, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Louisiana.
No? How come?
There was a lot of crime.
Oh.
My parents were bail bondsmen, both of them. And whenever I wasn't with them, I was with my nanny, who was my grandmother. That's what I call her. I would say I was very sheltered, but I noticed a difference here when we came here between there.
What was that difference?
It felt safer.
How old were you when you came here?
12 years old.
12? What's your time from 12 to 26 been like here?
It's felt a little bit more freeing, and it's had its ups and downs, but better than if I had stayed in Louisiana. I love my family in Louisiana. I just wouldn't want to specifically go back.
Not even for a visit?
I go back for visits. Visits are fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to live there.
Yeah, I got you. There's a lot of places I don't want to live. Can you tell us about an influential person on your life and how they impacted your life?
Well, there's my mom. She was the youngest of three siblings, and she basically had to raise everybody because her mom worked, and her dad couldn't work because he was prone to epilepsy.
Oh.
I think he worked when he was in his younger years, but he was just having trouble for a long time.
And what kind of impact did she have on your life, your mom?
She gave me everything she could. She sheltered me from a lot, but she also taught me a lot of lessons about life.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our differences, but I'm glad that we can sit down and have a good mom and daughter relationship.
Did she inspire you to do art or anything like that? Did she give you inspiration?
Oh, yeah, she did. My father, a lot of my family, my friends, my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. So, Patience, if you could give your younger self any piece of advice, what would it be?
You know, I've asked myself that question before. Like, everybody wishes they can go back and redo something or not say something or not do something. And then you realize if you did do that, would you still have learned the lesson from that? Would you be the person you are if you just never did anything wrong? I don't know if there's anything that I could have told me that could have affected anything else. Because, yeah, I've made mistakes. I've said things I wish I'd never said. I've done things I wish I'd never done. But if I never did those things, would I have remembered not to do them?
Yeah, definitely we all have those moments. Is there any direction you would give yourself?
Listen to people more. And I don't mean just like on cautionary things, like don't do that, or make sure when you do that, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to how other people feel more. Because I feel like I was a really self-centered child, and I didn't listen to enough people and just wanted to talk about what I wanted to talk about. So that's probably what I've really told myself.
Okay, that's good stuff. What is it about National Park College that brought you here?
Well, it's close. It was fairly affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it'd be a good way to get into continuing an educational career.
Other than National Park College and art and graphic design, what are your hobbies?
Sometimes I play Pokemon just casually.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you have any of the old Pokemons that are going for so much money these days?
Maybe. I think I have Crystal somewhere. If I still have it, there's no way I'm getting rid of it unless somebody give me top dollar. This is the first Pokemon game I ever finished. Not the first one I ever started, just the first one I ever finished. I remember how sad I was when I beat the Elite Four and the gym leader and their credits rolled. Because, you know, in your mind, you're like, that's it. It's over. I don't play anymore. So I actually got upset. But then I waited at the end and all of a sudden, okay, it's back home. Like, did it reset? I'm like, no, it didn't reset. I'm like, oh my goodness, so huge relief.
That's cool. Yeah, my son's looking for a first edition Charizard if you got one.
Oh, no. Charizard's great, but yeah, my starter in that one. No, this is the thing I would have told myself. Don't get Meganium. Don't get Chikorita. Chikorita was great and all, but Cyndaquil would have been better.
Okay. There you go. So what is it about Pokemon that you like so much? What drew you to it?
It was one of my favorite shows as a kid. And then when I found out it was actually a video game, obviously, of course, I want to get into it because I can play with my own Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my inspirations in art. I always drew Pokemon. I'm going to continue to draw Pokemon, but now I get to draw them better.
Yeah, that's cool.
I even used Pokemon as my center for 2021's Inktober.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was that design like?
I tried to follow every prompt of those days. incorporating a ghost or a dark type to go with the Halloween theme, but I wasn't able to get every day, but it was fun because I got to start practicing a design process, and I found that that design process could be applicable to my studies here when working on my art projects.
So, Patience, if you could talk to anybody from the past, present, or future, who would it be and why?
I don't know who's in the future.
That's a good point.
I feel like I know this question. We all have this question. We all know the answer to this question. I just blanked.
Any famous artists you'd like to talk to from the past? Ask Van Gogh why he cut his ear off?
I think I know why he cut his ear off. I think it was to impress a woman or something, because he was really depressed. I don't know if I want to talk to any of the artists back then. They were all crazy. Yeah. They were geniuses, but they were all crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll talk to the younger versions of my parents. I don't know if they'd even believe me.
Oh, nice.
But I feel like I'd end up accidentally going into the whole Back to the Future scenario where I just somehow don't exist. I don't know if it's that drastic.
All this talk of the past, it's only fitting I ask, what are your future plans?
Well, once I get done with my 2 years here, I'm going to work a little bit more, build up a better portfolio, and then in about another year or two, I'll finish up at Euler.
What's your degree going to be at UALR?
Be a bachelor's in design, I believe.
Okay. So, Patience Bookout, it has been wonderful sitting down with you today. I really enjoyed talking to you today. Thank you for joining me on Elevate.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. It's been great.
And thanks to all of you for listening to Elevate today from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. New episodes are released each Thursday. Special thanks to National Park College and the Sentinel Record for making this podcast possible. Until next time, this is Timothy Webb reminding you that every day is a chance to elevate.